Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, welcome as always to episode 94 of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Date for today is May 11th, 2012. Topic for today is bullying, one game we ain't gonna play. We're gonna talk a little bit today about how in the world do we stop bullying. How do we put an end to it? How do we support and work with our kiddos who are going through it? What do we do after the fact, after it's already happened? We're going to go over that a little bit today. So today is kind of the capitulation, the coming to the end of several different major things. Most of that being is we've gone over about the last three episodes, this episode and the last previous two, we've gone over what exactly is bullying, what exactly does it look like, what is some of the new modern bullying looking like. And then we also combine that with how do we talk to our kids about it? How do we educate them? So if you haven't listened to episode 92 and 93, you need to go back and check those two out. It'll help make a lot of this right here make a little bit more sense. But before we get into our topic for today, let's just cover our housekeeping real quick. Guys, consider signing up for the email episode notification. I want to say thank you to those of you who have signed up. It just helps me get information to you guys, let you guys know what's going on, let you guys know what the new topics that are coming out, so that way you can see what are we going over, what are we talking about, do you want to click over and listen to it, and then also it's where I get out all my special information that nobody else might get. Some of you guys almost got an update email late tonight. I started having some problem with kind of some random code on my website, and anyway, all of that to say, I love being what's called, I think the new kids nowadays are calling a solopreneur, but it's the idea that you're an entrepreneur of one person in your business. I love running a business with one person. It's fantastic because that means that anything that happens, all the proceeds go to me and however I choose to spend the money for my business, right? Makes sense? Wonderful thing. Problem with it is, I am a one-man show. I've had to self-teach myself how to code websites, how to run things, how to fix problems, all that other good jazz. And so while I may not have to be paying an employee's salary and benefits and all that other stuff, sometimes it's a pain in the butt whenever you've got to fix your own problems. So anyway, it is approximately 1:58 a.m. on Friday morning, and I'm just now sitting down to record the podcast. But that ain't a problem because I love and am so passionate about what I'm doing today, and I love helping you guys out. Truthfully, in all seriousness, man, it's easy. It is absolutely easy for me because I love what we're doing today. So consider signing up for that. If you had, you almost got a message tonight letting people know why that was. Luckily, it happened so late. I was able to get away with it and fix the problem pretty quickly. So consider signing up for that. I offer that out to you guys absolutely free of charge. I just want to be able to get you guys some good information. That's all it is. It's just keeping you updated. Simple, easy. I don't overload y'all with graphics. Next off, guys, consider sharing this on Facebook and Twitter. We're making this easier and easier for you guys to do now. I just put something onto my website now called Livefire, and I absolutely love it. It is a commenting system that is going to take everything, what you say on Twitter, what you say on Facebook, what you write on the blog itself. It's going to take all y'all's comments and conglomerate that into one place on the blog. I am super fired up about it. So if you guys will, consider sharing this over to Facebook, Twitter, all that other good jazz. I really appreciate it. It helps me get the word and get things out there. With all of that said, let's go ahead and jump in for the topic today. Topic for today, again, is bullying. We've got to be able to put a stop to it today. We're going to kill it where it lies. We've got to be able to stop bullying. So again, guys, we've previously talked about what is it and how do we talk about it. You need to back up and check those two out if you haven't already. Today, we're going to specifically address the question that most parents want to know. We cannot get to this question, which the question today is going to be, how do we stop it? We cannot get to this question if we do not understand what it is and how do we talk to our kids effectively about it. So we've got to go over that today. The bottom line is this. When it comes to bullying, if bullying is not squashed, if we do not take care of it, deal with it, and make sure that we have absolutely stopped and ceased it, It communicates to the kids, to the bully, and to those that are being bullied and everybody watching it happen, that it is okay. And let me tell you something. This bullying stuff ain't gonna fly. We cannot let this stuff off the hook. And yes, you could be, as a school administrator, as a teacher, or as a parent who knows what's going on, you could be letting it fly with your complacency. We've got to stop it right now. Next off, we've got to do it quickly. You cannot let it go. You cannot let it ride. You've got to respond to it as soon as humanly possible. You got to get in there. You got to get the ball rolling on this stuff, because if you do not, it will likely repeat itself. And most importantly, when it comes down to all of this, you have to do it consistently. You can't drop the hammer one time, and then the next time it happens, you let it slide because you're too busy. Or maybe it wasn't that big a deal. Maybe they beat a kid up the first time, but now they're just calling them names. Little wussy, you're such a freaking wussy for saying something. That is the same kind of thing, and you need to be consistently handling that kind of thing every single time. Here's what you need to know. I've read the research. I've read the articles. When we do these things that we just talked about, these three things, you can put a stop to bullying. So let's talk real quick. Let's talk about the do's and don'ts of putting a stop to bullying. So let's talk first. We're going to go over the do's. Okay, so number one, do's. Intervene immediately. Get help if necessary. You need to step up and you need to step in immediately. The minute that you find out about something, you need to make it happen. You got to remember, we're going to talk about this later, but a lot of times kids that are getting bullied are scared and terrified to tell you. And so you may not find out about it until 2-3 days, 3 or 4 weeks later. And you need to be putting a stop to it and what's going on immediately when you find out about it. If they come home and tell you about it, or you find out things that have you believing that that is what is happening, you need to address it right on the spot. Don't wait. You may need to get help if necessary. You may not be able to do it. You may not be able to verify. You may be working late nights when you find out about it. Don't be afraid to get other people help, involved in getting help if necessary. Talk to the teachers. Talk to the principals. I'll tell you one thing. There was a time where if you'd have called up and said, yeah, my kid's getting bullied, that, probably the schools would have been like, yeah, well, okay, well, we'll take a look at that. And then might not have done much about it. It's getting now to where schools are really taking this stuff seriously. Law enforcement stepping up and saying, listen, if you're not enforcing something, we're going to start making something happen here. And schools are not wanting that level of publicity. And that can also be, maybe you're working with some schools, that when you're going to them and you're talking to them, you feel like they're being dismissive. That might be one of the things that you might want to remind them of. Listen, do you want to have the publicity of being the school who a kid got bullied and then went and killed herself? Or a kid got bullied and then went and grabbed a gun and shot up a bunch of kids. Do you want to be the school where that happened? Is that the kind of publicity that you were wanting? Now, don't do that hurtfully or meanfully. Do it respectfully and do it kind. Don't be a turd, in other words. But sometimes you can use the reminder. Sometimes people need to be put in the shoes of, what would it be like if I didn't do about this, anything about this, to get them moving? So don't be afraid to get help if necessary. Separate the kids involved. This might be good for you teachers as well if y'all are in the mix. But separate the kids that are involved. Can anybody out there tell me why? Do you want the kid who got bullied and the kid who is bullying being right there side by side whenever they're trying to explain? Absolutely not. Not a safe thing. Kid's probably not going to feel safe being open and honest. Bully is going to be listening to whatever that little kid says. So absolutely, absolutely, absolutely make sure that you separate everybody involved. Make sure that everybody is safe. Right? Don't take the two that were the bully and the bully and stick them around the corner while you sort everybody else. Right? That can have adverse effects and reactions as well. Make sure that everybody is safe. Survey the situation. Make sure that everybody is okay. Is anybody getting hurt, punched, kicked, anything else? Or threatened while we're doing our survey? Next off, you may need to meet medical and mental needs. getting into an altercation with a kid. They might very well be hurt, and if you need to call for medical assistance, do it right then. Do not worry about what happened. Do not worry about the story or getting records or getting ideas or getting testimonies from other people. Don't worry about that. Focus on the medical needs, and also you may need to focus on mental needs. I mean, let's be honest, that kind of thing is traumatic. It is absolutely traumatic, and it's hard on a kid. And they may need to go see a counselor and visit. They may need to go home for a little break. But that kind of thing is traumatic, and you do not want your kids experiencing bad repercussions from that. So, meet their medical and mental needs. Get that squared away before we go on to anything else. Next, my biggest chunk of advice is this right here. Stay calm. You got to stay calm. You got to be calm. You got to be a smooth operator. And then reassure everybody involved that it's going to be okay. Let the kiddo who got bullied, it's going to be okay. Let the kid who's the bully, it's going to be okay. We'll work this out. Be calm and spread that calmness. Remember, we talked about this in being the thermostat parent. You can also do that when it comes to these kind of situations as well. And then last, be respectful to everybody. That includes the bully. You may know beyond the shadow of any doubt that this guy was picking on this little kid. Let me tell you something, that ain't okay. And that ain't going to fly. And we're going to put a stop to that. However, that does not mean that you treat that kid any less respectfully than you would have if they had to have done that. In reality, it is people probably being a jerk to that kid that taught them to be a jerk to others. And the last thing that they need is one more friggin' adult coming in being a turd face to them. Be respectful to everybody that is there. So let's go over the don'ts. Let's go over the don'ts. Can you guess what number one is on the big don'ts? Do not ignore the situation. Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Listen very, very carefully. These kids will not work it out on their own. They're not going to duke it out and solve the problem. The issue with the bully is he's not just looking to express his emotion and then feel better. He is looking to gain power and control. And the only time a bully wants to stop is once they've gained that control. The kids are not going to work it out. Do not ignore what is going on. Next, do not try and sort out the facts immediately. You know, one of the things that absolutely fascinates me is that cops do this. They try to get on scene, and then they try to assess the situation and take statements and all these other things. And if you ask one why they do that, they tell you it's because they want the information while it's fresh. And in all reality, that's friggin' retarded. If you read the research behind the neurochemistry of the brain, right after a traumatic event, the body dumps adrenaline into the bloodstream, and the brain releases the stress hormone called cortisol. Cortisol is known in almost a one-to-one direct correlation to cause diseased neurological pathways. All that to say, cortisol blocks our ability to remember stuff. And whenever you're sitting there operating on a high quantity of cortisol right after a stressful event, that is the crappiest time in the world to take a statement. But cops do it. And they call that SOP, Standard Operating Procedure. Anyway, don't try to sort out the facts immediately thereafter. It's not a good idea. It will not work. And here's what I'll promise you. You're going to get much faultier information. A lot of people, when I tell them that, if you give them time, they're just going to go and make stuff up. There is probably some truth to that. However, you take a look at the lack of consistency in response from somebody right after a traumatic event, you're not getting any better information from them then. Anyway, don't try to get it right then. It's not a good idea. Don't force the kids that were there, both the bullied and the kids that watched it, do not force the kids to say publicly what they saw. I see this happen a lot, and it's one of the worst mistakes. Oh my God. It's one of the worst mistakes that I see educators do is they try to go ahead and get all that stuff to be said publicly right there in front. Horrible idea. We are talking about doing this in front of a kid that is a known bully. These are kids who have watched it with their own eyes happening to another kid. So in their mind, what they see is whenever you make this guy mad or this girl mad, this is what happens. Do you think that that's going to make them real likely to want to share things with you in public, openly like that? Probably not. Make sure that you take them privately. Don't question the kids involved in front of the others. I think you're probably seeing a pattern as to why that is. Go ahead and separate them out. When you take the stresses of having performance anxiety and all those other things, and then also doing it in front of the bully where they can see, when you take those stresses away, you're much more likely to get a better result. Remember, do this later. Do this a few hours later, whenever the cortisol has been reabsorbed back into the dendritic, the neurons, and the adrenaline has been reabsorbed. Wait on this. Don't try to do it immediately. Don't have all the kids talk together. So in other words, don't try to construct it out of like a social organization group. There's a theoretical thing that goes amongst people is what's called emotional contagion. And a lot of times emotions will spread from one person to the other. Eliminate that. There's an old phrase that says, and this is where this comes from, there's an old phrase that says that a person is really smart, but people are stupid. There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. Don't try to make the kids patch it up or make up on the spot. Most of you guys aren't going to do that, but some of you guys have been taught that. That like, you know, you're going to be duct taped together as siblings until y'all work it out. Do not do that. Siblings are typically just upset with each other for sibling type reasons. Bully is upset with a bullied solely because they're trying to gain power. Having them try to work it out on the spot ain't going to work, okay? Don't try that. Don't try that. So let's talk real quick. You know, I'm real easygoing. Nah, easygoing is not the right word. I'm real flexible when I talk about the kids that are bullies. Because in my mind and in my heart, what I hear and see is when somebody bullies is a person who's hurting, who's been taught a whole lot of really crappy skill sets, or maybe they've been taught really good ones, but they've never been told not to take the bad ones, or no discipline, or whatever else it is. The bottom line is that when I see a bully, I see somebody who's hurting. And so I'm very easygoing about that. It needs to be addressed, and we need to shut it down right now. But there's that part of me that understands that they're doing that for whatever crap happened in life. Now, you can't blame it on that and then allow that to be your panacea for getting out of anything. We've got to deal with the issues. But I'm very caring and tender. And we're going to do a series maybe next week on what do we do if our kid is the bully. And so we're going to talk about that probably next week. But I am going to give you guys some of what I call the no-tolerance issues. In a lot of cases, these kind of things happen. It needs to be stopped, and we're going to talk a little bit about how to support kids here in just a minute. But you settle that up, but you get things back on, and you try to resume some normal stuff with some new augmented plans in place to make sure it's not happening again. There are a few things that I have a no-tolerance perspective on. You call the police or the paramedics if necessary in these situations. Number one, if there was a weapon involved with that bully, you need to call police. Right now, you need to get your SRO involved. I think here in Texas, we call that the school resource officer, but it's basically a particular officer in the police department that gets kind of stationed as that being their area of operation. And so, anyway, if there is a weapon involved, you get on the phone right then. I don't care if they didn't use it. I don't care if they just got it out and threatened with it. I don't care if they just showed it to them, just brandished it. You call the police right then. That kind of crap ain't okay, and they need to know it. We're not doing this to be buttwads to them. We're doing that because they need to understand that you pull a weapon on somebody outside of anything other than self-defense, and we're talking this needs to be crazy, schizophrenic, off his medication, came in shooting a gun like crazy, killing people. We're talking crazy. If it ain't that, and you pull a weapon out, that ain't okay. And that kiddo needs to know it. No tolerance for weapons. Number two, threats of physical injuries. If they are threatening to beat them up or to break their arm, Don't even play with that crap. Do not play with that crap. You call your SRO or you call the police, you get them involved. If somebody is threatening physical injury, that ain't okay. You get police involved. If there is hate motivation threats, like racism, here's another one popular in the media, homophobia. If they're making hate-motivated threats like that, you get the police involved. That ain't okay. This is the United States of America. We are protected under the United States Constitution and preamble that every single one of us is guaranteed a civil liberty of life, of freedom. Okay? Anytime somebody threatens that, I don't care if you don't agree with it. Like, for instance, you may not support some of the things that are happening out there that people are doing, and that's okay. There are things that are happening. There's things that are in the news right now that people are doing that I don't agree with. But as long as they are not violating one of my rights as a citizen of the United States, it's okay for them to do that. As long as they're not pushing that on me and saying that I need to be doing that as well, that is okay. So remember, people are allowed to be different from us, and we are not allowed to hate them for it. Did you hear me on that? Just because somebody is diametrically opposed to you, even if it's your spiritual and religious beliefs, in America, you are not allowed to hate that person and treat them differently. Doesn't mean you support and condone what they're doing, but you always accept that a person is a person no matter what they believe. And if you have a kid who is jeopardizing that in any way, that needs to be shut down. Another one of my no-tolerance issues, serious bodily harm. So if they got into a little scuffle, gave them a little red on the neck or something like that, that needs to be addressed. That needs to be stopped. I don't think that's police-worthy. If there is serious body harm, cuts, if there is bruises, if something is broken, you need to call the police and the paramedics and get them in there. That ain't going to fly. That is not okay. And that's one of those things. You do not need to let that go. Because if you let that slide, then they get this mentality of, oh, it's okay to bring a weapon, or it's okay to be hate, you know, give hate threats, or it's okay to cause serious bodily injury, you know, even if it's just maybe a cut or a bruise. Oh, that's okay. You know. We ain't gonna allow that, all right? Next off, no tolerance. If there's any kind of sexual abuse in any way, small or seemingly insignificant, you drop the hammer. Do you understand that? Sexual abuse, you drop the hammer. Don't play around with it. Don't fart around with it. I'm a person that I say assume the best and believe the best in everybody. But if that gets mixed in, drop it. Drop it like it's hot and roll with it, all right? Next off and last for no tolerance issue, if there's any kind of illegal acts, if there is any illegal acts, robbery, extortion, forcing kids to like get money to give them money or property or services, right? Any of those kinds of things, do not play around with that. Call the police immediately. You start the report. You know, the problem is that we did a lot of work. I did a lot of work in working with kids and families, and we had a lot of them where parents, and there were some pretty serious issues going on with like stepdads or sometimes stepmoms or other people that were doing illegal stuff, and they'd say, "Well, Trey, if I go turn them in, then it's not going to do any good because you know they're not going to come get them yet." And I tell them, you know, that may be very true, but let me tell you, the infamous paper trail catches up with everybody, and you need to start a paper trail. They may not come and arrest this kid and take him out of school for the rest of his life. But you need to start a paper trail. If you want any legal action to stick later, you want there to be a nice big old fat record of every single incident, every single time, lots of documentation. Go ahead and get the ball rolling. Do not tolerate illegal acts. Well, let's wrap it up on this. Just how do we support these kids whenever they're involved? So this is after the fact. This is after the storm has passed. Now what do we do? Talk to your kids about it. Don't ignore the problem. Don't let yourself get busy. Make yourself some friggin' time for your kid to talk this stuff out as though they have cancer. It needs to be that serious. Listen to them and focus on them. Give them your full undivided attention. Let them go through it. They may cry a little bit. They may try to shut down a little bit. But talk with them. Let them get some stuff out. Another big thing that I see a lot when it comes to kiddos that get bullied, let them know it's not their fault. A lot of times these kiddos will begin to think, oh, I must have done something. I must have said something. This must be because I'm an idiot and they can't tolerate me. Why can't this person just deal with me? Make sure that they know and continue to reinforce it is not their fault. This is where it might be good to get them involved in some empathy games, right? Get them thinking about, why would this person do that? And their first answer may be, well, it's because I'm a nerd and I hate nerds. No. It's not about nerds. It's not. Because if it wasn't for you, if there were no nerds in this school, guess what? This kiddo would find somebody else who wasn't a nerd some other place to begin bullying. And kids need to walk through that and come to that realization that they would pick anybody, even if there was no kids with glasses there. They'd find somebody else. Next off, consider a counselor. You know, you might want to start with a school counselor. I know that comes a little more it's a little less costly, but you might consider a counselor as well. I mean, you got to remember, this is traumatic, and it is not necessarily uncommon, especially if there's been long bouts of this kind of bullying going on. It's not uncommon for kiddos to come out with authentic post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, like what troops are coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan with right now. So you may need to have them process that out and think it out. You may just not be enough for them. I mean, I think as parents, we always want to believe that we can be enough for our kid, that we can help them, you know, and help them take care of themselves and do okay. Sometimes we ain't enough. And I'm saying this as a trained psychologist. I'm also telling you that sometimes I can't do it, not for my kids, because they're my kids. It's easy to be objective and give advice and training and this kind of experience to others, but once you mix me in with my kids, now my emotions are involved. Oh, crap. Now I'm a daddy that wants to go crack some skulls because somebody's hurt my babies. So consider that as well. You might need to take them in. Get them thinking about what they're going to do if this happens again. Don't ever look them in the eye and say, oh, we'll make sure this never, ever happens again. Bullcrap. How do we know? Just because we get this one kid out doesn't mean there won't be another bully in the school. Get them thinking about what they're going to do next time. And a lot of this is stress inoculation. What you're doing is you're getting them thinking about what they're going to do, what are they going to say, how are they going to handle things different. We're going to assess what mistakes did we make, and how can we fix them? How can we do better this time? How can we make sure that I know quicker? And have them thinking. A lot of times kiddos that get bullied have a tendency to be very self-directed and very inward-focused and very single-minded in how they think they can solve a problem. They begin to think about it. What could I do? What could I do? There's nothing I can do. I can't do this, right? So they become very hopeless. And so we need to keep them hopeful. And then also, we need to get them to that point where they realize that they have other people to depend on. They have family and teachers and principals. Maybe they're all motivated by different things. We don't want our babies getting hurt. Teachers don't want their students getting upset. Maybe principal doesn't want their school to be known as the bully school. But who cares? If that motivates them, I'm okay with that. So get them thinking about what they could do if it were to happen again. Get them problem solving and brainstorming. They can handle this bully. I'm not saying by themselves, but they can handle this bully and get through this just like any other thing that they go through. And then last, ask the kiddo what would make them feel safe again. My guess is if they just got the crap beat out of them, they may not feel very safe. What would cause them to feel safe? I always recommend minimize the amount of changes to the routines. Don't make big drastic things like take the kid off the bus or rip them out of the class or, you know, or take them out of the school. I don't recommend that. I recommend keep them minimize the changes and make them small. A lot of times what that can teach is if you have a problem, just run away from it. Just avoid it. Now, I'm not saying that kids should face it and then go face that kid and get into a big fist fight with him. I'm not saying face it like that. But there's a ton of other things that they can do that doesn't involve swinging at them. Minimize the changes to routines. Next off, the child who is bullied, the kiddo who gets bullied, should not be the one who gets their stuff changed. This drives me bonkers. You'll see a kid who gets bullied, and what do? They take the kid out of his class. Why in crap's name should the kid be coming out? He's the one getting bullied. That dadgum little kid who's getting bullied should be yanked out of there. If somebody's going to. And I see it happen all the time. I mean, crap. That was a successful trip for a bully as far as I'm concerned. I see the kid who gets, you know, bullied is the one they take off the bus. Why in the world would the one who's getting bullied be the one who has to get off the bus? That should be the bully. The bully should not have to walk home or ride his bike, or his parents should be the one that have to come pick him up, not the one who's getting bullied. That's just a load of crap. I'm sorry, guys. I get really fired up about this. And I know in a lot of cases when teachers are doing it, or when educators are doing it, or administrators are doing it, they're just not thinking. I mean, I'm getting fired up about it, and it's probably not fair. But it's still crap to me. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I still think it's crap. They should not be the one to do it. And then last, you need to keep this in mind too. Most parents, after all this happens and the administration steps in, staff, faculty get all involved in this, they get their kids squared away and helped out, the first thing they want to know is, what's going to happen to the bully? What are you going to do about it? Please keep in mind, schools cannot share what happens to the bully. They can't do it as a policy. It is a law. They cannot share the punishment about what's going to happen to them. A lot of parents get very upset and very angry whenever the school won't tell them what's going on, because they want to make sure that it's an adequate response, a measured response about what this kiddo's been doing to their kiddo and bullying them. Schools cannot release that. Don't get mad. Don't be hating on them. That is their school policy. And it's the same thing if it was your kid who messed up. They're not going to go gabbing, flabbing what they're doing that to other people about your kid. It's a respect thing, and it's a privacy thing, and it's a good thing. Trust them. And if you feel like they're not taking enough response to it, have them come back to episode 92, 93, 94 of thefamilypodcastnetwork.com and check it out. We'll get them edumacated. Well, guys, that is all that I have today for this episode of the Family Podcast Network. I wish I could have just seen that. I was taking a big sip of my tea, and my tea bag was kind of stuck on the top of the rim of it, and I took a big swig, and it fell down, and I totally just sloshed a ton of Earl Grey tea into my face. I wish I could have seen it. Anyway, guys, remember, it is all about the relationship with your kids. This stuff right here with bullying is 10 times harder if you don't have a good relationship with your kid. Get a good relationship with your kid. It's Friday. You got a weekend. Spend some time with them. Take them on a trip to the grocery store, or take them on a trip to go play golf with you. I don't care, but take your kids with them. Develop a good relationship with them so they feel more comfortable talking to you about them. Well, guys, that's all we've got for this episode of TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You guys have a great day and a great weekend. We'll see you guys on the big old Monday.